Guinness Cups about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? 1-0 against Radio Watford in the FA Cup third round. Wasn't a great performance, but job done. All that matters is we're on to the next one. Clean sheet. Got some rest for Bruno Fernandes. We're hoping to get some rest for Marcus Rashford, Harry Maguire. They both got brought on, but hey, all that matters is we progress and back to winning ways.
Sir, you're going to have to win ugly. A lot of fixtures. You needed to rotate. Ole rotated heavy against Watford, obviously championship side. Six in the championship last we checked. And they are who we thought they were, sir. We beat them with the McTominay goal. I thought we'd kick on from there. Never got into that gear. We actually let them into the game. Looked a little sloppy at the back. A lot of changes, though. So when you switch things up, Ole hasn't done it much this season. It's going to be a little disorganized.
He hasn't done this much. He hasn't done it much this season. He also hasn't relied on Jesse Lingard as your number 10, right? Everything's been going through Bruno Fernandes, and if it's not Bruno, it might be Paul Pogba or even Donny van de Beek. So I think, you know, this team hasn't played a lot together. It makes sense that it wouldn't be clicking at a high rate. Not too far off what I expected. You always expected a game like this. It was going to be a heavy rotation, allow Amata, Greenwood, Dan James to get some minutes, and that's what we did. And we move on, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, but if you, like you're talking about James, Lingard on the right, Greenwood, sole number nine, Williams. I mean, how many times we've seen these players all on the pitch at the same time? Not a lot. And so when you rotate this heavy, you get critical players rest, and you get a win. And it might be ugly as fans. It's a tough watch for sure, but it's a results-based game. We're on to the next round of the FA Cup, and we got some big matches this week. So again, the excuse machine firing away here, American Red Devils, but you got to take the W's and you got to focus on Burnley and the team who should not be named on this podcast. Big, big games for United, and all the big boys are going to be back and rested.
No, they are. And, you know, we did have to use two of our big guns, right? We had to bring in Harry for the injury and Bailly, which is a worry because he's been playing so well and another injury. And then we obviously brought Rashford and Martial in to shore things up, bringing some firepower. But that's okay. I'm glad we got to rest Bruno Fernandes, the guy who's gotten played a lot of minutes. And you could tell not having him on the field makes a huge difference, of course. You know, the amount of dynamic play that he creates and excitement. But we got to save him for Tuesday, sir. Burnley is a massive match, bigger match than Watford.
No, absolutely. And that's what I'm really excited for. Look, you know, I can kind of, if you wouldn't want to know a Burnley and it's ugly, I'm going to say the same thing.
Exactly.
I mean, right now, you know, we talked about it. Ever since the Cavani ban, we've kind of been getting away with it. We haven't looked like we had the full momentum. Clearly, Ole is at the wheel. The results are doing the business. But something, there's a little magic missing. And I really think when we go away, sir, up the highway next weekend, I think Cavani will be back. He'll be starting, and hopefully the magic comes back.
And I think that's going to start on Tuesday because he served his ban. It feels like it's been a long ban. It feels like it's been more than three games. But I would imagine he's going to be the front of that triangle, the front of the four quad or whatever.
You don't think Ole's going to rest him on Burnley and bring him like 100% fresh?
No, I would think you want to get him back up into match fitness, right? Back ready to play against
still
a team as good as the Scousers.
I'm going to hold Cavani in a bottle until that big match. I don't know. We can always disagree, sir. Let's get into the PSA. If you like this podcast, you can support us on Patreon. Our mission here at America Devils is for fans, by fans. We want to be supported directly by you. That's why we don't have any ads on this podcast. That is our vision. We want to give fans a platform to give that biased take from the couch, sir. We don't need to hear it from Simon Stone or any of the media out in the UK. They're just their spin zone for Ed Woodward. And if you want to support us, Patreon is probably the best way. We have different tiers. You can sign up for anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. We give away stickers, scarves, pins, shirts, etc. Great way to support the podcast. Check us out at www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Also, check out our website, www.AmericaRedDevils.com. We have some great merch there if you click on store. And amazing fan contributors, sir. Great blogs all week. tell them to check it out. You're the editor-in-chief. You're running that machine.
The blog is up and running and is ripping. We've got contributors from all over the globe. And if you're interested in contributing, covering the greatest team in the world, reach out to us at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. We'll see if we figure something out. Another great way that you can support the podcast is write a review. So they're back up. We are close to 5 stars, I think. So keep those 5-star reviews coming in. If you send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com, we and your address, we'll get you some stickers out for free.
We give away stickers for 5-star reviews. So we are back at 5 stars. We have the most reviews, the highest rated Manchester United podcast on iTunes. And so if you drop a review, it goes a long way. So please, if you have it and you like the podcast, drop some cheeky banter on there. We'll read it out here on the podcast. But let's get into it, sir. Manchester United 1, Watford 0 at Old Trafford, third round of the FA Cup. Let's get into that lineup. Dean Henderson, world number 2 in net. Telles at left back. Twanzebe, by center back pairing. That's probably the most interesting part of this lineup. Then we had Williams at right back. I've always wanted to see him feature there as well. Van de Beek, McTominay, midfield 2. Mata at number 10. James on the left. Lingard on the right. And then Greenwood, number 9. I like this lineup for Mole. I really do like it. It should do the job against Watford. I think we probably should have played a little better. But again, with this squad, you score the goal early and you kind of get complacent versus getting that goal and kicking on if you got that Bruno Rashford connect.
Yeah, maybe. But then, you know, they feel in the game. So maybe it could go the other way as well. But I, you know, back to the 11, I like the 11. I like the amount of rotation we saw from Ole. You need to freshen up. We haven't freshened up. Give Rashford a break. Give Bruno a break. Harry has been playing too much. AWB has been playing too much. So getting Brandon Williams in, doing the Twanzebe and Bailly connects, so you don't have to have Lindelof or Maguire play. This should do the job, sir. It should be enough. Even if it's just 1-0, you'll take it.
It's nothing like rotating heavy and getting a win.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
great feeling.
It's exactly what we need, sir. Jumping in first half, United open sharp. I think this is our best passage of play. We're coming at Watford hot. 5th minute. Sir, we didn't have to wait long to celebrate. Scotty McSauce. Set piece.
Swung out and the header by McTominay's in. And Manchester United have taken under 5 minutes to take the lead. It's his first FA Cup goal. The dream start for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side.
The amazing announcement from ESPN FC. You heard it there. The enthusiasm. What a goal. Scotty McTominay, header goal, 5th minute. You love to see he's wearing the armband. You know, sir, that's why we got the academy.
You also love to see that. How about his first time as captain? Congrats to Scott. And a great goal, you know, got a little bit of a bounce, but a great in-swinging cross from Telles. He does that well. And you want to get off the mark early, you know, you put yourself in cruise control. So after that, you thought, you know, you'd be rolling.
We looked a little sloppy Joes here at the back. 16th minute, Watford almost equalized with a good ball. Hacked off the line by Twanzebe. I mean, this was very close. I think it was a Hendo save. Twanzebe almost goal line clearance here. Sweating against Radio Watford. 20th minute, Bailly goes close from a corner. Great delivery from Telles again. Like you said, that left boot looks great from set pieces. 34th, Watford looking better. We let him back in the game, sir. That was the issue. Ole called it too. A couple close calls in the box after dangerous play by Sarr. He was all over the board, sir. We were linked to him last transfer window. Might have, should have, could have, would have picked him up. 43rd minute, good chance for Mata after a nice play with Donny van de Beek. What do you make of Donny van de Beek? Didn't really see him much. He was playing in the two with McTominay. Probably not his preferred position. Usually it's number 10. Clearly, Mata was in that role today. What'd you make of Donny van de Beek?
I mean, he did a job, played tidy, didn't lose the ball, seemed to connect decently well. We all like to see him ideally in the box. He's a better 10 than Jesse Lingard, who didn't look great today. Auditioning for a way out, I don't know if anyone's going to pick him up. But I thought, you know, Donny played reasonably well. It shows that he has versatility, can play all over the pitch and do a job and keep the midfield flowing. I don't think he played poorly today.
No. But I do think generally our shape was a little questionable.
Yeah.
44th, Hendo comes out for an absurd slide tackle on Sarr. I like this from Hendo. Again, you say part of his strengths were De Gea's a little softer, gets out of the box a little more. He plays the ball a little better. So Henderson looking sharp. You love to see it. And 46th minute, Bailly goes down with an injury. I thought it was concussion. Ole said neck after the game. Harry Maguire comes on, takes that armband.
Takes that armband, shores up the defense a little bit. You know, we had some moments, but the worrisome thing is, you know, you don't want to see Bailly go down. You don't want to see any of our players go. You don't want to see anyone get injured. But I mean, Eric Bailly's had a lot of injuries. hopefully it looked bad. You know, they brought the stretcher out, didn't end up needing it, but we all have our fingers crossed, hoping it's not too serious.
Absolutely. All of our thoughts are going to Bye. Hopefully he can get fit and healthy. But again, Eric Bye, sir, you know, you talk about it. There's traits of footballers, and he plays a certain style where he gets injured. You know, he goes in so hard, and you know, you love to see that in a player, but you know, these types of injuries, let's hope he can bounce back quickly, because he looks to be at sometimes our best defender.
Yeah, he's just a great compliment to Harry Maguire. I mean, you need an Eric Bailly if Harry Maguire is kind of like your captain center back, because you need that speed to shore him up a little bit. And I love the two of them together. And this has always been the concern, right? 3-4 games and then he gets injured. It wasn't a leg, it wasn't a hamstring. So hopefully the neck he can bounce back from pretty quickly.
Yeah, we'll see. Ole seemed pretty optimistic. Second half, United come out flat. Watford back into the game. I think we had 5 good minutes like we did in the first half, and then back to basic here. 60th minute, decent chance for Greenwood. He gets no power behind it. And then Ole's like, hey, let's make a double sub in the 68th. Let's try to get some more firepower. The best defense is a good offense here. Rashford, Martial on for James and Greenwood. James a little... He had a good opportunity start the first half,
yep.
But nothing really from Dan James. How are you feeling about the Welshman?
I mean, he had a couple moments where he looked like, you know, when United looked good, he looked pretty good. And then United faded and no one really looked good. But I still think Dan James, you know, he's a good squad player, a useful player to have around. You bring him on when defenders are tiring and you can pass him over the back. He's a player to have.
I mean, the question is, would you sell him for the right price?
What's the right price?
25.
Sir, are we replacing him? I mean, I think we need a Dan James. You're going to sell.
No, I'm just like speculation, sir. Speculating. You know,
mid-game breakdown, I would say.
I rate Dan James. I like him, but, you know, it seems to me maybe a loan would have suited him best this season, because he's just not getting enough minutes to maybe refine his game to where United needs him in spots like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think Fergie would be all about this player, right?
Fergie can make him tick. I agree. I totally agree.
Because he's a high work rate player, high passion, passion project kind of guy. He's like, dude, he's turned cleverly into a world beater.
No, I'm not anti Dan James. I'm pro Dan James, just like I'm pro Donny van de Beek. But you need to get these players reps to get them to the level they need to be. And obviously, I don't know if we have that or can see that in this game. 79th minute, Modric comes on for Lingard. Ole's like, let's shore it up. It kind of worked. And then 81st, Rashford, decent chance here after a nice run. But he can't get any power behind it. He kind of went. It was kind of clear where he was headed. Rashford playing a lot of hero ball these days, taking 2 or 3 defenders on. Him and Martial not really linking up with these 1-2s. I think the one thing you could take away from the second half of United, got to be moving the ball better. Got to be stretching the defense. I just see a lot of hero ball, a lot of individuals running at defenders and nothing coming. This is just something we got to fix, sir.
No, there's definitely been too much of that. And I think a lot of it, you know, Rashford was so good at the beginning of the season, providing so many assists. He has looked a little bit selfish last 3-4 games, maybe trying to do too much. He'll dribble, 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 and then he should look for a pass, right? Because everybody comes drawn in and he always gets his pass shot blocked often. So I think he should pick his head up a little bit more. United's offense is not exactly like running.
No, it's true, but this is like
at the moment, unfortunately.
Look, I mean, that's the match. United win 1-0. You know, I would love to see the XG here, but when you talk about criticizing United, obviously a lot of subs coming in, but still disorganized, look shaky at the back, chances not really coming. You know, it's just one of those things where I'd like to see. If you don't necessarily need to finish them, but we got to be creating more in the attack, and we got to have better shape at the back. And it's the same thing that has been plaguing us in the league against, you know, Wolves and Villa, etc., even when we have the first team. So you got to fix those things, otherwise we're not going to be, you know, it's good, this run's going to go short.
Well, it's a work in progress, and this team hasn't played together a lot, and these players haven't gotten a lot of minutes, so it was always going to be this kind of game, especially when you have your best player, your most creative player, your talisman off on the bench not playing at all. So I mean, I was not surprised that the boys didn't create that much, looked a little flat.
No, but it seems, all I'm just trying to say is, regardless of the 11, these themes continue for United, like shaky at the back when we're countered and not being able to generate a lot up top. You know, everyone seems a little isolated and our chance creation isn't there. You know, that's all I'm trying to make the point, regardless of the 11. Match reactions, United 62% of the ball, Watford 38%. You know, credit to Watford. They hung in there. They sat back. They defended well. You know, again, we've seen that theme all season. 7 on target for United to 3 for Watford. Corners 4 to Watford's 8. Didn't concede, though, so you have that for United. Clean sheet, you got to celebrate it. And Manchester United progressed from 34 of their last 36 FA Cup third-round ties, last failing to do so in January 2014, losing 2-1 to Swansea, sir.
Who was that? Must have been David Moyes' army, sir.
Sir, David Moyes. Tactical genius, mate, but what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Ollie, congratulations into the fourth round. What did you make of the overall performance, sir?
I thought we started really brightly. Played some nice football, got in behind them, created chances, got the first goal. And after 15, 20 minutes, it seemed like the balloon popped. And they came into the game, we gave them confidence, and they really gave us a good game.
Because good movement, good rotation for that early period. You had 75% possession, but what did go wrong?
We started giving them the ball back easily. Yeah, we tried to complicate it. Maybe one or two men out of position, and then suddenly they counter-attack. And when you got Andre Gray or Ismail Assar running at you, you're always going to have their heart way up here.
You gave Scott McTominay the responsibility of captaincy tonight.
Yeah.
Delivered, didn't he?
He did. He always does. He's a leader. But I thought maybe today we give it to him to see how he reacts wearing the armband. He's always out there leading the way, but brilliant today.
He reacted exactly as you'd expect, I suppose. It's a sign of trust in him, though.
Yeah, well, we've always trusted our young men coming through, and Scott's one of them that we really believe that's got the DNA of Man United in him, and he knows what it is to be a Man United player.
And we saw Jesse Lingard out there for the first time since September. What did you make of his performance? He's 28 now. He's kind of at that crossroads of his career at United.
Yeah, he's been out for a while, but Jesse started brightly as well, and then, as you expect, towards the end, he was a little bit tired, so I just put Nemanja on just to secure the game there.
What's the news on Eric Bailly?
It's his neck, I think. So his head's fine, but I've not spoke to him. But there's no concussion or something like that. So,
I mean, you hear from Eric Bailly, it looks like it's just his neck. So his neck could be a little sore. It'll be fine for Liverpool. I mean, the Scouse Bastards. Teams will not be named.
You like to name that team? I'd play him. If he's ready to play, he's a beast, and I play him next to Harry Maguire. But it's all on Tuesday.
You get like a neck pad. You get neck padding. Just like when Wayne Rooney had the head pad.
The head pad?
You know, was that? Helmet? The rugby helmet.
Yeah, the rugby helmet. We had the concussed.
Well, it's not a helmet because it's not solid. It's like got the, you know, the padding on it.
The soft neck padding? Yeah, I don't think you can wear that during a game.
Like a big collar. Back in the day, they popped the collar on the jersey, so they give you a little protection for the neck.
There you go. Either way, Ole calling it straight. Give this guy a pod. He's not wrong. He usually isn't. The game, we started well, then faded, let them into it. Does sound familiar.
Yeah, I like the term the bubble popped, and also being out of position and getting countered. I mean, he knows. He calls it pretty straight. You know, I like to see him at the wheel. He's pretty steady. You know, the football at times, like we've seen over the last 5 games, you know, we talk about Villa was thrilling, but, you know, Watford, Wolves, sir, you could talk about a few matches, maybe City as well. You know, but we're getting away with it. So let's kick on. Little odds for the FA Cup. Who's favorites? City is favorites, +350 to win outright. Liverpool +450. Then we're right behind them, +650. Chelsea and Arsenal +750 with Tottenham. So, you know, United, you want to rank all the English clubs. Who's going to win the cup? We're right up there. Top 3, sir. I think that shows that we're contenders all around.
I think we're definitely the top 3 best teams in the league, sir. So, you know, respect the game, clearly. You know, United finally getting a little credence for where they should be. We finished 3rd last season. We're 2nd this year, and we're not done yet.
Yeah, but it's still one of those games where people are salty about it. You know, people, it's a game. I just think it's like, are you not entertained?
What did you expect?
That's something we need.
What did you expect?
That's something we need on the soundboard. Are you not entertained? Seriously. Because as a United fan, this is a type of game under Sir Alex, you get away with one. Maybe it'd be maybe this Burnley game for me is really where the rubber meets the road. Let's get into it. Our next match, Manchester United versus Burnley. We call them Burnley the Builders because of their Lego logo in the English Premier League. Tuesday, January 12th, noon, 12:15 Pacific. Just to keep you honest, 3 p.m., 3:15 Eastern, Turf Mordor. Sir, how are we feeling about the Builders?
So they're hard to break down. They don't concede a lot of goals. They don't score a lot of goals, but they don't concede. So it's going to be, you know, hopefully we look a little sharper than we look today. Obviously, the 11 is going to be different. But they're going to be a tough one to break down. So
it's sorry, you said it. We have trouble scoring and trouble defending. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting matchup here versus Burnley. Lifetime versus United. Burnley, we've won 62, drawn 23. And here's the big one. Lost 45 to Burnley. First time we played. September 10th, 1892. Newton Heath versus Burnley. It was a draw in Division 1, 1-1, sir. Burnley.
Those Builders. Those Builders have been tough. Dude, you know, it's always a low-scoring game with Burnley. There's not going to be a lot of goals in it.
This match is huge. EPL, you know.
Go through it, sir. Where are we at?
I mean, just check in with the table. Team who should not be named, 33 points. Manchester United, 33 points. I'm going to call tied on points because goal differential, it's kind of silly to say it at this point in the season. Leicester City, 32, but they've played 17. We've played 16. Tottenham with 29, but they've played 16. City, 29, but they've played 15. Southampton, 29. Everton, 29. So if you want to look at, this is our game in hand. We've been talking about all year. This is supposed to be played in September. Manchester United win. We go 36. We go top of the team who should not be named on same amount of games, and we go in to play them at the weekend. That is a huge advantage mentally for all the marbles, sir, going in with 3 points. I think it will matter for this team, the mentality of United right now. They're a young group of players, and going in knowing that even if you lose, you're tied, I think is still helpful to them. So that buffer might let them play a little more freely, although everyone knows that if you're going to that shit stadium.
What a dump.
That absolute shit stadium.
You're going
sir,
to win, baby. You're going to win.
You should be playing for if you have 3 points and the same amount of games, you can play for the draw, sir. I hate
no,
to say it.
No,
I hate
you
to
do.
Say it.
You sit back and you counter. But what you don't do, sir, is you don't look forward to Sunday.
Dude, Ole's going to go out swinging. No, what I'm saying is he's going to go out swinging.
Yeah, of course he is. They should.
Well, I also think that if you sit back, you invite the attack from them, which is kind of like,
no, you got to press the shit out of. We're talking about the Scousers, we're talking about Burnley the Builders.
Sir, we're talking about the setup to the
this
game.
This is the problem, though. I bet you if the players do this and they start worrying about Sunday instead of Tuesday, we lose to fucking Burnley. And that's the problem. We have to focus on the game at hand, and that's the game in hand.
Well, sir, we're playing chess, not checkers. We're looking a few moves ahead. That. I'm just saying, like, that, this game, the part of the reason why this game is so important is the implications for the next game. Yeah. You lose this game.
You got to win against the Scousers. You got
to
beat them.
Sorry, you got to beat. This is, we got to say, must win. Was Watford must win? No. This Burnley game is must win because it's going to set up the fixture. It's going to set up the title race. You can lose away to the team who should not be named. Totally. You can't lose this game. 16th place Burnley. Like you said, they've only scored 9 goals all season, sir. 15 games, they've scored 9 goals, but they've only let in 20. They've let in less goals than Manchester United. They got a great defense, but they can't score. So, I mean, I have a feeling we're going to concede, though.
I'm not sure we're going to concede, but it's going to be hard to score. It's going to be hard to create chances. But that's why you put in Bruno Fernandes. We didn't see Bruno Fernandes or Paul Pogba today. Both of them are likely to start. I think they're going to just try and, you know, go for it. I would imagine they're going to push forward and try and take it to Burnley because that's the only thing you can do.
Coming into this game, last 5 matches for Burnley, Drew Villa. They beat Wolves, lost to Leeds 1-0.
1-0.
They beat Sheffield United 1-0, and then they just beat MK Dons in the FA Cup on penalties. So they did a little better than us. We did a little better than them in the FA Cup, sir. But again, Burnley, kind of they're going to show up hot. They always show up hot against United. This is a big, big fixture. A little history on Burnley. Founded on May 18th, 1882. It was one of the first to become professional in 1883. They pushed the barriers into professional football when that was taboo back in the day. Used to be a gentleman's game, sir. Started paying people for it, and now they get paid for it. And they subsequently put pressure on the FA Football Association to permit paid players in the game. The club entered into the FA Cup for the first time in 1885-86 and was one of the 12 founding members of the Football League in 88-89. They go way back. A lot of rich history here. You look at this club, you see Sam Dyche, you don't think about it, but there is a lot of history at Burnley. They've been champions of England twice, 1920, 21, 1959, 60. They've won the FA Cup once, 13, 14. So quite a bit of history here with Burnley. One of the most interesting parts of the club is definitely their badge, their crest. It looks like it's got Legos. It's got like a Stark on it, or Stork, sir. Brandon Stark. You know, they got the Stark, whatever. The Stork at the top of the crest refers to the Starkey family, who are prominent in the Burnley area in the medieval times, and the black band in the hand of the Stork represents Burnley's motto, "Hold to the Truth," derived from the Townley family, who was also prominent in medieval times. This is like this badge goes back to medieval times, sir. Medieval times to me and Alex is a restaurant in New Jersey that you go eat at without utensils.
Everyone knows they joust each other.
Shout out to Jersey.
They have it other places other than Jersey.
I know, but as far as like growing up.
One in Jersey is special.
But medieval times in England means something different, I guess. The two B's on the badge refer to the town's busy ambience and the saying "as busy as a bee," but also allude to the former B Holland end at Turf Moor. So they have a part of the stand named the B Hole End. Sorry, I said B Holland. B Hole End at Turf Moor. That's a mouthful, sir. Players to watch: Chris Wood, their leading scorer with 3 goals. James Tarkowski, we've been linked to. Great center back.
Yep.
That's why they don't concede a lot. United look to be in for one with Burnley sitting back. Getting a little nervous. Physio room. Obviously, Cavani is coming back from suspension. He's available. Rojo is out. Facundo Pellistri, he's got COVID-19. Sir.
Get better.
Shout out to Facundo. And then Phil Jones.
Where are you? Who are you?
Phil Jones approaching Lee Grant status.
Just like check after check, baby. Getting paid money. Why not?
Phil Jones, what you doing? It's going to be a tough match. What's your lineup, sir? Are you bringing out the big guns?
Yeah, I mean, Burnley, it's like you said, it's a must win. If you want to win the title or go over in title run, you got to beat Burnley. So Dave saves the net. AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw. I'm going to do Fred.
Damn. Fred,
Paul Pogba, Bruno Fernandes, and then Martial, Rashford, Edinson Cavani. There you go.
All right, I'm going to say Dave Say is world number one in net. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Lindelof. Oh, as far as left back, I'm going to say Luke Shaw comes in. We're going to do the Fred McTominay midfield. Bruno at number 10. I'm going to do Rashford on the left. I'm going to do Martial at number 9. And I'm going to put Greenwood on the right, sir. I think you're going to need a lot of pace. Greenwood has that quick fire finish in him. We're going to need something like that. I worry about chance creation, but we've got to. It's all about the magic. Bruno's got to have a bit of magic, right? I mean, that's really, he is Manchester United at the moment.
I mean, he's our creative force, and it all kind of ticks through him. It's good that he finally got a blow. He has looked a little haggard, so hopefully we'll see him fresh, fit, and firing. I mean, they're there to be taken if you can create chances.
It's just going to be a tough game.
No, it is. They're all tough. It's the Premier League, baby. It's all tough.
This game, it's the game that we are not good at. They're going to sit back. They're going to defend, and we are going to have to break them down, sir. The weakness of Manchester United over the last 2 seasons has been teams like this, beating the bad teams because there's no space to counter. How is Burnley going to set up? We know what it's going to be. Sam Dyche isn't going to mess around, and it's going to be it's not going to be a thriller in Manila. It's going to be one of those tough-fought, hard games. United are going to be pushed to the brink, sir. Bookies have it plus 650. They'll tell you the opposite. So if you're thinking about being frisky, you might want to look at Burnley. The draw plus 333. Man United minus 225. Heavy favorites. United goal scorers: Bruno plus 300. Cavani plus 320. Rashford and Martial plus 400. They think Cavani's going to start, just like you.
He's due. I mean, he's due to start. He's missed some games, so he should be fresh and ready to go. And Tuesday to Sunday, you know, that's like generous compared to some of the breaks we've had.
True. Given those are the bookies' odds, what is your score prediction for the match?
Sir, you said it. It's going to be a nervy, tight game. 1-0, you know, always in control, but the score line wouldn't give you any other indication.
Sir, you stole my score prediction, but I'm going to say 2-1. let me say, one United score. Burnley hit us back. We hit one at the death, stoppage time. Always at the wheel. How good does it feel?
I was going to say 2-1, but I figured that was your score line, so I didn't want to take it.
All right. United in the news. Getting right into it here. Transfer window is open, sir. We got Manchester United, biggest club in the world, buying.
Who are they buying?
Mbappe, Neymar, sir. We're buying them all.
Who we got?
Just kidding about that. We have £58 million. We don't have any money. But one positive deal that was done this summer, Amad Diallo lands in Manchester. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, there was rumors he could be loaned back. We knew he was coming. We need him. We need a big time at Manchester United. We need someone on the right wing. He's a great player. Ole was quoted in the pregame presser, quote, "We'll do the same thing we do with Facundo. He'll join in with the first team and train with them and get settled in. Then we'll give him match time, first team or under 23s. That's pretty interesting. You know, he's going to be like, hey, what do you got, kid?
Right.
Either you go in the first team, you go to U23s. Facundo came in, U23. I have a feeling with Ahmad, first team. That's just my gut, sir. I'm calling it. What do you think?
No, I think you could be right. Ahmad, I think he's just a little bit farther ahead physically as well. So I think it's likely. And we just, you know, Facundo's obviously a right winger as well. We've been crying out for a right winger. I just think Ahmad might be ready to make the leap because he's got the physicality and the pace.
Well, he came from Atlanta. He's breaking in the first team, coming off the bench. You know, I think you'll see him probably. I could see like a 2 or 3 U23s then coming in, but I think we're dying a right wing. You got Dan James right now, so you know he's going to slide in right away. Ole continued on his quote, "You got kids who just come in and they tell us as staff that they're ready for difficult games. He's a young boy who we've watched for a few years. We've seen him here in England playing the UEFA Youth League. He's got special abilities, of course, very good balance, reads the game well, and for a young boy, he seems very mature in his decision-making. He's a boy that we're excited to develop further. Of course, we know he's a young boy who's going to learn in his trade and come into a new country and a new style of football, so we got to be patient." And I think that's the key word. I kind of put a little dig at Facundo a little bit, only because the dig is at Eddie Woodward for marketing him as a first-team signing.
And they're doing the same with Ahmad, and you know
he is a first team signing though. But I think we're just dying in right wing, sir. We're dying at right wing.
Well, they both are, but they're both for the future. The same way Dan James was for the future. Obviously, these kids are young, 18 versus I think Dan James came in at 20. But that being said, he hasn't played a lot of first team minutes, and we have a great history of bringing in talent, giving them enough time and space to grow into a player that can compete in the Premier League, play for Manchester United, wear the badge proud. So I'm not worried. Ole has shown an ability to manage players coming in, manage the talent that he found when he showed up. And hopefully we'll see continuation of that with Ahmad because he looks a top talent. People are talking him up around. We're not used to that. Like players United buy and then, you know, the commentators are like talking him up heading into United. So that's exciting to hear.
I'll tell you what. Either he's going to be like lights out or he's going to be the
Zlatan or Obertan, sir.
Zlatan. Okay, sir. You got to call it Zlatan or Obertan.
Zlatan. Okay, because Obertan, I feel like Obertan was the last winger we bought, sir. And he wasn't very good.
But I do like the new transfer strategy for United where they're going after young prospects versus kind of the older players because, you know, you could buy it. Gives you a few more punts because you buy a Dan James, you buy Palestri, you buy Ahmad, and, you know, one of them should come good if you're playing the odds, right, at the end of the day.
Exactly right. And you can buy, you know, you can buy four for the price of one if, you know, the price is $70, $80 million for another player. But it is the move. It's also, this is also because of Brexit, because it's going to be harder to buy young players going forward because of now Brexit is official. You know, happy 2021. So I think United were getting ahead of it. Ahmad's a player. They've been looking at it for a long time. Cheaper than Sancho, who slowed down quite a bit at Dortmund this year.
Slow down would be an understatement. Sancho, where in the world is Jadon Sancho? What happened to him, sir? That's why, you know, hindsight's 2020 in the transfer market. Next bit of news here. Manchester United delay sealing Moses Caicedo transfer deal, sir. This was apparently done. We talked about on the pod. Ecuadorian midfielder, beast mode. And then yesterday, Fabrizio Romano, quote, "Manchester United are now oriented to not sign Moises Caicedo." Whoa, Ed Woodward, a little transfer genius here. What are you getting back into it? You know, the old, hey, man, we really want to sign you. Uh-oh, you want too much money, and now we're going to pretend like we're out, and then some other clubs might come in, and then we'll overpay, right? Isn't that Woolworths transfer special?
So I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if it's A, we're not interested, which I would think this guy's a good value. We're hearing like £5 million for someone that is talked about quite highly in South America. Maybe I think it's because we're broke, sir.
I think other players, I honestly think it's like, I think you're right. It's probably a money situation, but Romano went on to say he's being scouted by United and we're in control of the situation because Moyes' dream was to join Manchester United, but he's not the priority. It was never a done deal. The Casado race is now on with many clubs involved. This is very interesting because in the Express printed that the move has been delayed due to work permit issues and the Ecuadorian internationals always top transfer target. So we're seeing conflicting things in the press here, and I think Romano is obviously 100% the truth, but you know, it has to be a money thing. Ecuadorian side getting cheeky, wanting a little more money because United getting a steal here. Looks like a steal.
Feels like a steal at $5 million, you know, based on the hype around this player. He's already made his senior cap for Ecuador, played against Messi, apparently played pretty well. So if you could get him for four, I think they said like £4.8 million, it would be a great deal. Maybe this is just them playing. You know, play in our hand, right? Trying to force United to close the deal. Maybe we're just dragging our feet, which does sound like the Ed Woodward I've grown to know, sir.
He loves to drag it out. Just drag it, sir. All right, fan questions. Let's get into the banter here. Really appreciate the tweets, the hot comments, questions, and everything in between. We're going to kick it off here with at Burkett Mets, quote, "The people of Twitter aren't going to like to hear it, but that is exactly what United needed. Full rotation, keep a clean sheet in advance. Big week ahead, boys. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United." Burkett Metz always hits the nail on the head.
He's spot on here. You love to see a rotation. You see that rotation, you're not going to get a vintage performance where you're creating loads of chances left, right, and center. But the important thing is you get the clean sheet, you get some rest for some important players who needed rest, and you kick on to the next one.
Yeah, and my only criticisms are the themes that are apparent, right? You know, you go to different clubs, different managers, different styles of play, and United, you know, the organization at the back and, you know, the midfield too, and looking like we're out of position against a championship side, you know, obviously young players, but you know, you like to see that improve over time. Like you said, we're learning. I just like to think about the themes that affect the first team and the rotation. At Jamal Mota, quote, "Well, we won, so there's that. Sad not to see a Galo FC." I agree here.
Yeah.
I tweeted it out. Ole didn't check Twitter, though. But we saw the game out, clean sheet, and we move on. Again, clean sheet, win, rinse, repeat, move on. Let's go to Burnley.
Yeah, I would have thought a Galo would have been a good feature, too, because his size, you know, he's looked good when he's come on.
Cold-blooded from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah, well, you know, Ole's focused on winning, baby.
Sending them back to China. No start, no nothing. He was a United legend there. He was scoring for us. It's a shame he didn't feature more, you know, especially when Cavani got the suspension.
Yeah, you would have figured he would feature at some point, but Ole's got his eyes turned by Edinson Cavani. Can't turn back. He said, "You know what? I have my old dog striker. There's no room for you, my man."
That's one where I think Ole, he is kind of against rotating, you know? It's like you could argue Donny should have had more minutes this season. You should argue Agallo could have had more minutes this season. I think Ole really kind of sticks to his players pretty hard. You know, I would have liked to see Agallo. Next tweet here, at @ant_triola, quote, "1-0 with mainly backup players and a bunch of guys who aren't on the pitch together a bunch. Had some chances late and didn't convert. Win's a win. Glory, glory, Manchester United," I think. So that's why we have the best fans in the world. They get it.
They get it because this is part of the deal. This is, you ain't going to get vintage performances every day, week in, week out, especially when you're making rotations. And we need a rotation. I'm just like thinking we got away with one, and the boys got some rest.
All right, at Boham Boy for Life, quote, "Sad to see Eric get injured again, but definitely glad to see the fringe players get minutes. Also glad to see Bruno get some rest. Happy to see the Donnie show and what he's capable of. On to the next one." At Bryguy666, quote, "Not an impressive win, but we move on. So happy that Bruno got some much-needed rest. I was bummed when Bailly was sent off due to Henderson's knee. Poor guy is the worst luck. Do you, sirs, think this match sealed the fate of some players being loaned off? What do you make? Who would you loan after watching that performance?"
I'll tell you what.
Loan or sell?
I would sell Jesse Lingard as fast as I could sell him. They're probably trying. You know, I bet starting him today was so you can maybe turn a Premier League team's eye. i.e. Sheffield, take him on a loan, right? Maybe he can help us get out of the relegation drop, but he's got to go. He's just, he's not even top four tens on the team, you know, like Bruno, then Pogba, then Donny, then Mata, and then Jesse Lingard. So he's got to go. And then other than that, I think everyone else has a place in this team.
I mean, look, when you talk Jesse Lingard, instead of slating him like we used to in the pod, you know, so we're getting older. We're dads now, you know. you got the gray hair coming in. You know, this is like, you got some wisdom. I feel bad for the kid. He came in, he looked great. And then, like, I'm going to blame mentality. I think he had a bunch of personal issues, you know, that can't be easy on him. It can't be easy to go. I mean, like, no one's going to feel bad for young millionaires, but you can only imagine how that would affect you. And, you know, he really had a great opportunity to be a great player at Manchester United. And it's almost like, where did it go wrong? Him and Rashford were boys. It's almost like the peak Lingard, at his peak, him and Rashford were like in Miami partying, and he was doing all these Snapchats. And ever since he kind of went into the social and all this stuff, I'm not going to blame social media, but that seemed to be like the top. He kind of believed the hype too much.
I was going to say, I think he started believing his own hype a little too much, because they're talking about it. We were watching Rio on BT in the lead up to the game. He was talking about, like, oh, remember when Jesse Lingard scored the winner in the FA Cup?
Yeah, exactly.
What, 4 years ago? 2016 is now 5 years ago. Dude, I think he peaked, and then he just, you know, the team has gotten better. The players around him have gotten better. Some of the boys he grew up with have gotten better, i.e. Rashford, i.e. McTominay, and he's regressed, dude. You know, he kept getting COVID. Probably, you can't blame the guy for getting COVID, but, like, I think some players...
I think it was exposure. He kept
getting exposed to probably by some bad decisions, hanging out with too many people when you're supposed to be focusing on football. Dude, I think he just needs a change. Kind of like Phil Jones and Rojo. They need a change, play somewhere else, get some minutes. I wish the best for Lingard, but he ain't going to be a United player.
I mean, clearly.
He's got a fat deal, right? He's got a huge contract. And who's signing Jesse Lingard for $150,000 a week, bro? Nobody.
I would like. So if you think about United over the last 8 years, you know, you can say we don't have a director of football, et cetera. But I like the new transfer situation where we're bringing in some youngsters, South American talent. I really rate that, because it's so hard with the Sancho 120 million. It's like, you realize, like, Bruno Fernandes, nobody wants him. And he comes in, he's like transformative. So you're better off playing kind of some small to medium ball,
right?
Building around the academy, which Sir Alex famously built and produced all these great players that we still see today. And so you kind of need to bring in some youth, give them some time to develop, show them the United way. I actually like that. But the one thing I will criticize, we're not getting rid of players.
No.
Like, the Rojos, the Joneses, even Romero, who, like, is a great player and we should just let him leave because he's a great guy and was so good to serve United. It's like, you argue you really need to get rid of a lot of players. The Deadwood, we haven't gotten rid of fast enough. I think Lingard is part of that. You sell him a year ago, you get some money, something, and we're just hanging on to these players.
Well, who's in charge of transfers, my man? It's like Eddie No Knuckles Woodward and Matt Jughead Judge. They're idiots. They're idiots.
They're on some good wages, sir. And also, you could argue Sanchez was part of that. Didn't get rid of him early enough.
Nope.
Next one, at United, Dondo, quote, great start to the game. We looked very threatening. Then we sort of took our foot off the gas. McGuire needs to start scoring headers. We say it every week, pretty much. Poor Bai, he's the most unlucky player. Happy to win and not have to rely fully on our entire first team. At STRSCRMO2. I cannot pronounce that. Quote, happy to see Mata and Donny on the pitch. What do we think of Williams on the right side? Can he get in a rotation with AWB? Sir, what do you make of that one?
Probably not. You know, I hate to say it, I think Williams probably needs a loan. You asked that question earlier. I should have thought of Williams. Is he ready to challenge AWB week in, week out? He looked okay today. He didn't look great. He probably needs to go play for a championship side, week in, week out.
I disagree, because then who plays right back when AWB's out? Fosu Mensah?
Well, Fosu Mensah wants to leave, so.
Well, I mean, this is kind of the problem where you got a lot of people.
Well, you need somebody.
This is, so I also think if you're going to have B. Williams at the club, who played quite a bit on the left and did well for United, looked dangerous going forward, had a good work rate, played well defensively. I mean, he's not Aaron Wan-Bissaka, but I think the part of Sir Alex Ferguson's rotation where he'd rotate like one or two, you know, put him in with the big boys, and then it wasn't that heavy. So I think you see today a lot of responsibility for him. But, you know, I like to see Williams play a little more. You know, I think he could do the job.
Ole either rotates really small or rotates big, you know, and he did it exactly. Big here. And sometimes, you know, that's where I was talking about with the City. Like, I would have liked to see James instead of Pogba, because, like, you weren't going to be able to play Pogba again after 3 days rest, and he'd give you the energy you needed against a hot, fit and firing City. So it's, you know, but that's the kind of thing you learn with experience. You learn as you get to know the personalities better, and that's part of the good and bad of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, is he's a, you know, he's a relatively inexperienced manager, so there's going to be the things where hopefully he has to learn how to do that rotation better, because the bar is quite high with Fergie. There was nobody better at getting people up for a game and rotating the squad and keeping people fresh and doing man management. I mean, he was the king.
And we'll finish off with this tweet, at have another donut on Twitter, quote, better than a loss, but not very good today. Hashtag MUFC, hashtag FA Cup. It is better than a loss, sir. Better than a draw, too.
Yeah, better than a draw, better than going penalties, you know, better than nervy stuff against Aston Villa's U18s. But it doesn't matter. Sir, all matters we win.
Could have used a few donuts while watching that match. Donut. Go for a donut or two. You never know. Look, that is the podcast. Thank you for everyone tuning in. If you like the American Devil, Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. You can support us on Patreon, like we mentioned. You can visit our page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We post an exclusive Patreon pod talking about behind the scenes, and we have a mailbag as well every month. And if you want to support us, write a review, check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. Click on store. We have some great merch, and we have some new merch incoming with our great Stanley Chow designed logo, sir. We had some great downloads last 7 days. Give us those top 10 cities.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? Brønderslev, Denmark. Sir, you ever been there? Number two, El Paso, Texas, Milford, Massachusetts, and Walton, Kentucky. Sir, keep us going.
This guy disrespecting Denmark?
I've been to Denmark. I'm saying, have you ever been to Brønderslev?
Brønderslev? No, I have not been. New York, Jacksonville, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Atlanta, Georgia, Oslo, Norway, and Pittsburgh, PA. Looking at the internationals on the list, we have the UK, Dublin, Ireland, Calgary, Canada, South Korea, Japan, Australia. Sir, all over the board. We appreciate everyone who tunes in the American Red Devils. We always say it. Hell of, like, this pod, we are ripping two pods a week. Never give up, never surrender. Pod never sleeps, sir. Manchester United, you look, it's been, you know, you had the City game, you got this one. Now, sorry, those are the little appetizers. Now we got the real table stakes coming up. Burnley, the Builders, and the team will should not be named. Big week for Manchester United. And I want to keep playing that song.
I want to keep playing this song, too. It's a fun song to hear. And you know what? The next two games, you get 6 points from them. There's going to be no denying who's at the wheel.
Still there, sir. How good does it feel?
Always at the wheel.